Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, having one of those days where, you know, everything seems to go in the wrong direction. I woke up today, all of our computers had reset themselves. They had gone into this weird kind of bizarre funk, you know, where everything I had worked on yesterday didn't seem to work. And then you get locked out of stuff, and it's just maddening. It's another reason to hate Microsoft. And I do. Oh, do I? Anyway, big fun today, obviously. Lots of stuff to get to with Gun Fetish Barbie. You got the crazy one down in Georgia. Let's not forget that. And I do enjoy watching the shame walks off the airplanes, and here to share some thoughts on the top stories of the day and maybe some good healthy belly laugh kind of stuff, our good friend Sarah Purra. She's a reporter over at Raw Story. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello.
And how are we this fine day?
Well, as you can see, I'm coming from John Oliver's White Void. I am back. I am home in the Washington, and so tired that I'm in bed right now.
All right.
So you're all in bed with me.
Well, that's not a bad thing. So you came back from Oklahoma, flew on the plane. Did you get a front row seat to any of the perp walks? Because nothing has been made me happier these last couple of days than watching these idiots being marched off a plane, the shame walk, the ceremonial shame walk, perp walk through those skinny aisles while everyone around them is applauding and clapping and cheering, while their uber patriot ego is just being shot down in flames. You didn't get to see one of those?
No. And honestly, there were very, very few people on the flight. There was a little old man and his family in the front row of my flight from, I had to stop in St. Louis because I can't get direct flights anymore. And I was so concerned for this little old man because I was just like, how is this guy on a flight? Like, he's going to get COVID. This poor little guy is going to die. And he was like masked up, double masked, and the shield and the gloves. And, you know, bless him, he was working for it. But I was so nervous for him.
Had his whole spacesuit.
Yes. And but what was really interesting, when I boarded the flight to Washington in St. Louis, they rechecked everybody's bags. They had somebody there who went through everything. They checked your ID again, and made you like pull down the mask so they could see that it was actually you. They didn't ask me why I was going to Washington, and there was no other real questions about it. When I was getting dressed this morning, like I try and dress in layers because you never know what the hell the plane's going to be like. And the only t-shirts that I had was like a Biden shirt and a Riding with Biden shirt and an Alternative Facts t-shirt and then a Covfefe shirt. And I was like, oh, crap. If I wear these, am I going to get shot? You know, like.
Well, you'd have gotten right through security.
Right. And, you know, the TSA guy was super sweet this morning and was just like, you have a blessed day. And it was awesome. I have pre-check. They don't even look at my stuff. So whenever they looked at my stuff in St. Louis, the lady like pulled open my bag and she's like, wow, you have a lot of candy in here. And I was like, yeah.
Did you offer her a piece?
No, I really should have.
Yeah. Well, that is what it is.
So I landed in Washington and I didn't see a ton of stuff. I came over Memorial Bridge, which is, they dumped you right out at the Lincoln Memorial. And then circled back around to go up Rock Creek Parkway by Kennedy Center. And around the Lincoln Memorial, it seemed a little bit like the staging ground that they had set up for the inauguration in 2012. What was different is there are all of these big trucks that are blocking all of the entrances. So you can't go around the circle around the Lincoln Memorial because everything is blocked off there. And there are just tons of tents set up and fencing and everything. And the tents and the fences are a lot like what we saw in 2012. So that didn't really surprise me, but you know, things being blocked off and there are just tons of police cars with their lights on everywhere. And you could hear the helicopters everywhere. I mean, usually you hear helicopters up here whenever it's somebody coming from Andrews up in our hood. And so usually it's a government person and I'm in restricted airspace. So you have police officers, medevac, and the White House is all that you're going to get from helicopters. And so usually, and I've got to the point now where I can kind of hear the difference between a police helicopter and a Trump helicopter. And so it's just like, oh, that's him. He's going somewhere.
So you weren't home, you know, while Trump was circling the vice president's residence, though. You didn't get to see that.
No.
Any idea what that was about?
I don't understand what was going on. And part of the reason I did want to kind of come back is, and my mother, bless her heart, was just so worried, and she's still worried. And I'm like, look, this is the safest place in the country right now. We have thousands of National Guard troops. The Secret Service has already been deployed early. I feel safer here than I do in Oklahoma City, where, you know, God knows what's going to happen in our capital there. And, but I also kind of wanted to see it, you know, like I'm thinking very seriously about getting up in the morning and going to take some pictures of downtown and what it looks like. Because I heard a story about a congressman who basically went and stood on Independence Avenue in the middle of the day and took a picture of himself there because he could. There's no traffic. And that kind of thing, I mean, you don't see that unless it's a blizzard, you know, like traffic doesn't stop in this city unless it's a giant snowstorm. And it's weird. It's eerie. It kind of has that just strange sort of electric feeling of something, you know, where you're waiting for something to happen.
Yeah.
And which I can't tell if, you know, that's necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. I don't really feel scared. I don't feel anxious about being here. And like I said, I do feel safer here than I do in Oklahoma City. So, because I mean, at the very least, you know, people here, you know, if they come shooting at you, there's a whole bunch of guys who are going to shoot back.
Yeah, I think they to steal a phrase from my father-in-law, they blew their wad last time. I don't think there's anything. I don't think there's more coming. And you know, the sad reality is. And I hear a lot of, you know, people saying that there's going to be violence on the inauguration day and, you know, making threats against Joe Biden. And I'm sure you've heard them too. And what I'd like to remind my MAGA friends, if something happens to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris is going to be president. So don't say I didn't warn you.
The thing that I am worried about, I mean, you talked about Oklahoma City, but other state capitals, particularly when you look at Michigan, after what we saw, what happened in Lansing, around all of the crazy guys there who were plotting to assassinate the governor and then take over the Capitol, and then a bunch of those guys who weren't arrested for the plot ended up coming to Washington for the January 6th thing. That makes me nervous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is Michigan after all.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
To be honest, you know, when Timothy McVeigh blew up the building there, the Murrah building there in Oklahoma City, direct ties back to Michigan.
Yeah. And it's, you know, there are so many. I know that this is something that I would hope the FBI is obviously going to spend a little bit more time looking into. I've learned a lot about the terrorist watch list, like the domestic watch list that exists. There are thousands and thousands of white supremacists that are on a watch list, and the watch list really isn't, it's not a no-fly list. It's not a, you know, any kind of list that, that does anything other than really the FBI is just watching you. And this, these are the people who the most egregious of them are the ones that got a nice visit from FBI agents saying, don't come on the 6th. Don't show up. It would be, it would behoove you to maybe not show up on the 6th.
Not do that. What I do find interesting, though, and maybe you do too, is, you know, we've always said that, you know, no matter if you've got your phones off or not, they can still track it. The yeah. fact that now they're saying, if you were in there and your phone was on, we got you.
And the dude, there's like one dude who logged into the Capitol free Wi-Fi network. He's just like, oh, you idiot. You stupid, stupid fool.
Had to get my tweet out, man. Part. Had to get my video out. It was the best way to get the best way to videotape my treason.
I was saying earlier this week, like this, finally we have found an upside to stupidity. We're able to finally see these really stupid idiots who are like, oh, look, I'm wanted. I'm going to post that on Facebook. And then the idiot who posted on Facebook was arrested really yep. quickly because everybody was like, oh, he's wanted by the FBI. Hey, FBI, I know this guy. He's on Facebook. Here, go find him.
No, I mean, it's funny. And I've been saying we should do like a whole show based, you know, like the old David Letterman, you know, stupid pet tricks. We could yeah. have stupid human tricks right here, man.
Stupid racist tricks.
There you go. Now here's the thing. I mean, you know, while they're stupid, they're well-armed. And they're still yeah. dangerous. And while we're joking about it, the threat of violence is very real. In fact, you know, I've had a representative come on this program that I've known for a while who won't come back and speak out right now because temperatures are too high for them. And, you know, they can't find a bulletproof vest. They can't afford, you know, personal security. They're really worried for their own safety. So, you know, yesterday when the impeachment stuff happened, you had, you know, 10 Republicans who stepped forward, 197 that didn't. And there's part of me that goes, do I forgive some of those 197 cowards for not voting for impeachment because, well, the base might literally kill them? Or is, hey, that's your job. Stand up, be statesman, do your freaking job. Which side do you fall?
I think this is a really hard issue. That was one of the things that I heard Rick Wilson say yesterday, is that he spoke to two Republicans who said that they couldn't vote for impeachment even though they wanted to, because it would mean either, you know, that they basically would be killed, their wife would be killed, or their children would be killed. At that point, I wonder, what are you doing in office? I think it's hard because you want to encourage more people from all walks of life to be in government. At the same time, this has become a really dangerous thing. And if you're unable to stand up for your principles out of fear of certain death, then I think you need to get out.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Sarah. I mean, you know, they've been dancing with this devil, and I've been using this yeah. analogy a bunch. They've been dancing with this devil. And, you know, now is not the time to try and save your soul. And if mm-hmm. you want to try and save your soul, you got to come out, and you've absolutely got to do the right thing. And behind closed door going, oh, I'd really like to, but, you know, it would be bad for me. That ain't doing it.
Yeah. I think if you can't stand up for principle, then you got to go. And I understand it's difficult. It's a hard decision to make. It's like, you want to do the right thing or you're risking your life and the life of your family. Welcome to what Democrats have been dealing with for the last 5 years. Look at what happened to Ilhan Omar, what's happened to AOC, what happened to Gretchen Whitmer. There are so many Democrats, that, you know, get constant threats. To you know, random people like me on Twitter, I'm nobody, and people will send me really crappy things and threats, and it's just like, this is what we've been dealing with for 5 years. You've had this for 5 minutes. Grow a pair.
Yeah, no, and like one of the key ones, because I've been following Gun Fetish Barbie here for the mm-hmm. last couple of days. Is it wrong to think that she's got penis envy? I mean, because she's always got to have her gun with her. Is that wrong?
I mean, honestly, I'm not sure what her issue is. Either it's a penis envy thing, or she is so secretly insecure that, you know, it's not necessarily a penis envy thing. That is the only thing that she has. She's obviously not the sharpest knife in the drawer. She's several fries short of a happy meal. And I just don't think that she doesn't really have anything. Like, she's going to end up making the Republican Party look like complete and total fools. She's going to raise Democrats a hell of a lot of money. But I think the only thing she really has that makes her look, you know, tough or you know, strong is her gun. And it's sad.
And, of course, the husband that's a flasher.
Well, I'm not sure that that is anything that would scare anybody. Maybe startle you. Like, you'd have to be really dodgy in the heart for that to kill you.
I love that frame. But again, you know, there are a bunch of these folks on the right that are in interesting moments, because she's got her problems. Actually, you know, with the tweet during the uprising, you know, kind of giving away Nancy Pelosi's position, that's going to be a problem for her. Maybe they end up taking her gun away, and probably her identity as well, because if she's convicted of a crime, no more gun. And then you got this Paul Gosar guy, Gosar, I guess is how they pronounce it, who is, you know, his name's come up with a bunch of these people. I guess, what were they doing, tours or something? How's he playing into all of this?
So, and Mo Brooks as well from Alabama. Gosar is how I've been told his name is pronounced, as if he is that creepy dude in the Ghostbusters movie. Spelled differently, pronounced the same. And what I've heard, what members have said, is that they witnessed these members doing tours around the Capitol. I don't know if it was Gosar that was doing it or Brooks who was doing it. They were the guys who were working with one of the pro-Trump kind of extremist dudes who's now in hiding. But there were members that were giving tours. The Capitol is closed right now because of COVID, and so you can't give a tour. The only person who could actually give a tour, it couldn't be like a staffer. It has to be an actual member themselves. And so these were actual members who were giving tours to these people. To people who then, one congresswoman said, I saw that same person, you know, during on the footage of the riots. And so now other members are starting to come forward, and they're just like, yeah, I saw those people around the Capitol with the members too. And you don't question it, because up until now, we've been in a situation where most of the members are going to do the responsible, thing whenever it comes to the security of the Capitol. Even if they're pro-gun or they want to bring their own gun or whatever, and a lot of them do, they have their own gun in their offices, but you're not allowed to have it on the floor of the Capitol. And so I think it's, you know, there's going to end up being a huge investigation into who these people are that were giving tours, because it wasn't just one member. What Sean Patrick Maloney said is that he saw one in particular, and he said a male, he described it as a him, and told, I think it was Nicole Wallace, he said, I'll send him your way, but he didn't want to divulge who it was. Another female member saw somebody else that was different from who Maloney saw, I guess, and wouldn't say who it was or the gender of the person. So I feel like I'm getting the idea that there are several of these members who did this, and I don't know if it's the same as Gosar and Mo Brooks, but it might be. I mean, I think that those guys need to be investigated as well as the tour people, because that's just horrifying.
No, it is.
If the calls are coming from inside the house, literally.
Yeah, really.
Holy crap.
No, and it's one of those things where, are there not video, are the hallways not recorded? I mean,
yeah. No, they absolutely are.
So, I mean, there's going to be a record of this, and someone conceivably, we could be doing perp walks out of Congress.
Yeah, and I guarantee you the FBI already has that that CCTV footage already, and they've already been coming through it. I think they've been looking for, you know, the actual people who were in the Capitol on that day. I know they've been looking for the IED bomber who left the explosives at the RNC and the DNC. But just all of this is just so shocking to me. And I know, I feel like every time I talk to you, we talk about something else that shocks me. And you would think that by now, right, I would just be like, oh, yeah, of course, of course. But it's just like, oh, my God.
That's where I'm at. See, I'm at the, you can't shock, there's virtually nothing that's going to shock me. Because I woke up Wednesday morning going, I wonder how much blood will be shed in our streets. I was expecting much worse, to be honest with you.
I expected it in the streets.
Exactly.
Like, I expected there to be, like, a huge thing, but I did not expect them to march into Congress with the intention of hanging Mike Pence and trying to kill Nancy Pelosi. I assumed that, I mean, we talk about the Capitol Police all the time. These guys are not friendly officers. They get away with all kinds of stuff. And the fact that they let these people just walk in, oh my God. And we've already seen, I think like 10 of them have been suspended. The chief is already gone. I'm sure that there will be many more. But holy crap.
Yeah, no, it's something. But you know, on the Gozer front, I love the fact that in one of your articles, you put a videotape of virtually his entire family coming out against him during the campaign. Don't vote for him. He's horrible. I can't imagine how bad you have to be as a human being that everyone in your family hates you.
All of his brothers and sisters did a campaign ad for his opponent, talking about how they really are concerned that he has mental health issues. That this is not, like, they're not making fun of him. They're not attacking him. They're saying, look, he is not a balanced individual. Please do not vote him into Congress. And the idiot still got voted into Congress and then sent out a tweet and was like, see you at mom's for Christmas.
And the, for those who want to look him up, Gozer is G-O-S-A-R, Representative Gozer, G-O-S-A-R. So you can take a look at this video or just check out Raw Story and Sarah Burris's work. It's fantastic stuff. Last bit I wanted to get to, the Twitter ban. I'll tell you, I've been a lot happier since Trump has been banned from Twitter. What I find even better is listening to all these conservatives play the victim cards on how now these are the people who told us that they believe in the free market and they believe that business has to do what business has to do. And while business is doing what they got to do, oh, it's because they're attacking us because of our beliefs.
God forbid, like, the free market can say that, you know, a baker cannot do a wedding cake for a gay wedding. But Twitter, you know, can't decide that, okay, you've violated our terms of service. The thing that I'm pissed about is, why did it take this long? He violated the terms of service how many times in the past 5 years? And now that, you know, he's dazed from being out of office, they're like, all right, yeah, we probably should get rid of this dude because it's making us look bad.
Yeah, I mean, how many times when the impeachment was going on, he tweeted like 600 times in the month of December of 2019. You know, we could have easily done away with that. And what I find hysterical is, and I wish he would have done it, I really wish he would have shown up on the day they were voting to impeach him. I really wish he would have showed up. I would have loved to see him bust in the doors. I would have loved to have seen that.
I mean, he keeps playing this victim card. He talks about how what a tough guy he is and how strong he is. And he loves that Macho Man song and all of that crap. And yet, you know, he gets banned on Twitter and it's just like, oh, I'm a victim. Oh, I'm being targeted. And you're just like, dude, suck it up.
Yep, and not just Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat,
Pinterest banned him. Pinterest, where you go for crafting ideas and your wedding, and you're just like, what was he doing on Pinterest to get banned? Was he just like, how to make your own body armor? I mean, I can't even imagine.
Well, fortunately, I don't have to hear about it now, but there's lots to get to. Sarah, I appreciate the time. I look forward to talking to you on the other side of this, when there's daylight and sunshine and better days ahead, because the next time you'll be here, Joe Biden will be president, and, well, the insanity will slow.
Have an awesome weekend, and everybody have a wonderful inauguration.
There you go, Sarah. I appreciate the time. Our good friend Sarah Burris, reporter over at Raw Story. Make sure you check out her work. She does fabulous, fantastic, amazing work. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.